freaking go. Quick live stream tonight. Obviously, I am dressed to the nines. Had to go do a thing with my lovely wife a little bit earlier today. But what I wanted to talk to you about is Gabriel Relaford. Did you see what Braden Swenson had to say about him a little bit earlier? Well, no worries. We are going to play the clip for you. This is via Travis May. And I do think this is very interesting because Relaford is kind of flown under the radar this offseason.
It's really just adjusting to whatever scheme they have you doing, really. So if it's like moving Perk to star and just moving somebody else to linebacker, but I know I'm getting on that edge. One thing I can do is control my 111. If I can control my 111, then everybody else should be able to control their 111.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody that you would say is next man up behind you at LSU?
Gabe Relaford. I got real big hopes for Gabe. You know, that's yeah. Gabe's a real hardworking guy. You know, he comes into work every day trying to get his work done. Game consistently trying to, he's competitive too. Like, even when I was there, he's trying to compete with me. You know, he's in there coming in there. You know, when you're a senior, you got a person coming in there trying to make you start working hard. You know, it gets tough. But
stands out.
Game is up next.
What can you tell me about Whit Weeks?
Oh, that's my guy right there.
Yeah.
Whit, my guy. How you doing? Whit Weeks, that's just a guy that's just, he's highly motivated, you know. Both from Georgia. You know, I really enjoy Whit because Whit's a hard worker. Whit's going to make sure everybody's on the same goal. Like, I'm pretty sure he's going to be the captain at LSU this year for probably every game this year.
There you go. Cut off Mr. Braden Swenson, who I think is probably the most underrated LSU player in this draft. It would not shock me, even more so than Will Campbell, if Braden Swenson ends up being the best NFL player in this class. Now, what I would tell you, as far as Gabriel Relaford, this true freshman season was actually very good. Definitely something that you would consider to be ahead of schedule. Now, obviously, as the season wore on, a guy like Ahmad Bro had a larger snap share, but that's because Ahmad moved inside and played defensive tackle. And then you have him next to Dominic McKinley and hopefully a few others. The defensive tackle room is going to be pretty good. But Gabriel Relaford didn't play much because LSU had two very good defensive ends and they chose to not rotate him out. Savion Jones, of course, being one of them. And Braden Swenson was a superstar at LSU with this 8.5 sacks. So, look, Gabriel Relaford, I think, could help LSU in two different facets, okay? The first is as a defensive end. I really do think as a pass rusher, he will grow. Obviously, bend isn't necessarily something he's ever going to be known for, but his overall athleticism is freaking ridiculous going back to his track and field days at Evangel in North Louisiana. And then on top of that, I really, and this is just a personal viewpoint of things. I think he could play fullback. I really do think so. Knowing his speed, obviously he would be a thicker fullback at 260. But I think, you know, we used him once in like goal line situations. But I do think he's someone that can give you something on offense. And I feel LSU's run game would greatly benefit from a fullback type being inserted into this offense. But, you know, that's just my opinion. Look, I know I've said my piece about fullback and tight end usage, but on this roster right now, I'm just trying to find someone that could potentially play that role. And that very well could be the thing that could jumpstart our rushing attack. So obviously not going too long. There's something else I have to go do tonight, but I wanted to check in with each and every one of you. Big shout out to our friends at the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience. We start off here with Tony the Tiger. We also say hi to Cliff, Christopher, and Normal Guy. I don't like that name because you're not a normal guy. You're an outstanding guy for being a part of PHL Live. Okay, now, next thing. And I want to look at you in the face, whoever you are. Just imagine me sitting right next to you right now. Okay? LSU women's basketball. Another ranked game coming up tomorrow. Alabama will be the game. All right? We will go live tomorrow after the Alabama game. Okay. We will go live tomorrow after LSU Alabama. So we are going to be up late. We are going to be up late. LSU Bama. It's an 8 p.m. tip. Let me know if you guys want me to do a halftime show. But, you know, we go so heavy into women's basketball, especially before spring football starts. So I'm really, really freaking excited about that game tomorrow, especially after what we did this past weekend versus Kentucky. Now, you know, I was asked this a little bit earlier. Who's the team to beat in college basketball? How the hell could it not be us? That's biased LSU fan speaking. I don't think we're the best team, but I also don't think there is a team out there that is so unfreaking believably invincible that we as a team can overcome. I think we can overcome any team that we face the rest of the year. You know, there's, I don't think with South Carolina getting beat by 50, whatever it was versus UConn, Aaliyah Boston is not walking through that door. Cardoza, all of, I mean, none of them. Okay. So even though if my life depended on it, I would pick South Carolina to beat us. That's not where we are. You know, I think we, if we can get on a hot enough streak, and we have these a potential player outside of our big three. Obviously, Dae Wilson ran the show. Lover, number 50. And then obviously, Wolfenbarger, number 8, Jersey. I love that first name. Can we find a way to pull off the unthinkable? Now, before we get to any of your other comments, I wish I was right about LSU beating Tennessee in the second half of that game. Now, here's my problem with Matt McMahon. I have no problem with losing to Tennessee. No problem at all. I think Tennessee's the best team I've seen in college basketball this year. Okay? But, once again, I would say, if it comes to being a coach who is out of it, never really in it in the second half of a game, but somehow, some way in the final few minutes makes it somewhat entertaining and you still lose, Matt McMahon is a John Wooden of college basketball. If we judge coaches by that, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. Tennessee did not play their best game, turning the ball over like crazy in the first half. We had the opportunity to pull it off, but number one, obviously we don't have the same level of talent as a lot of the teams that we play. But I promise you, okay, and I know I've been labeled a Matt McMahon hater. I love the guy. I think personally he is a guy that a lot of people in Baton Rouge love, okay? But it seems as if you watch one Matt McMahon game, you've watched them all, all right? So you, in our Patreon, for all our patrons, you have already seen our deep dive on this. One thing LSU has a lot of issues with, they go on long stretches of just bad during the course of a game. Okay, and sometimes it's not just the other team hot on a run. It's just offensively, we don't get anything going. So I'm fine with Matt McMahon. I really am. I don't have anything against him personally, but it looks as if he's going to be brought back next year. And I do think this would be a semi-desirable job. It is amazing where NIL money can come in from when you go get a new coach. Okay. And once again, you do have to factor in the buyouts for all the staff if you wanted to move on from Matt McMahon. And then that money would have to go to the new staff and then towards the NIL. I have no idea why my phone just started playing out of nowhere. Huh? That's so weird. I have no idea why that happened. That scared the crap out of me. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think most would say we're the second, if not worst team in the SEC. And this conference is so unfreaking believably competitive. I think we can get a heavier hitter at the head coach position. And I don't want to hear the Will Wade stuff. Okay. My boldest opinion is Will Wade will be the coach next year at Texas. I don't think he's going to be at McNeese next year, but I don't think that's a hot take. Okay. And it's not that it gets him either. He's top 10 coach in the country probably right now. But that's not here nor there. Now, I've seen a few chatters want me to talk about Bet-Torina. And here's my thing about any Bet-Torina chatter, or slander, or whatever. You guys know I'm the biggest Bet-Torina fan. I think this, well, she doesn't get it done in the postseason chat, is just dumb. Okay? It's just dumb. I think she's eventually going to break through, and I think this year could be the year. Now, you don't like woulda, coulda, shoulda. You don't like it, this could be the year. Okay. Suit yourself. But where I struggle with like any fan, because we all know Bet-Torina needs to get it done in the postseason. We know she can coach in the regular season. And LSU softball could fall off the rails during conference. It gets so much harder in the SEC. Totally understand it. Where I would push back, though, is I think as a fan, it's not a good way to look at things if the only thing you care about is the postseason. All right? And I really do mean that. If you live life as an NFL fan through Super Bowl or bust, you are going to live a mad life. It's just that simple. All right? So I think we'll be back in the College World Series. I think Bet-Torina will win one at LSU. Okay. Let's go, Cliff. He was the one that wanted to talk some Bet-Torina. Let's go to BT. Let's talk a little bit here about the LSU front seven. Primarily the defensive line has been a big topic of discussion amongst friends. I believe LSU potentially fields one of the best defensive fronts in the NCAA. Yeah, I think so. I think on paper, this unit is looking to be pretty good. But a lot of it's going to come down to what you get out of Pyburn and Payton. You know, I think you have a good idea of where you stand with Butler coming in from Nebraska. You know, we did a pretty deep film study on him. You can check it out on the videos tab on YouTube. But I strongly, strongly do believe Jack Pyburn is going to be an absolute monster. And a locked-in Patrick Payton is also going to be very good. The point, though, is that it was interesting when Gabriel Relaford's name got brought up. They said, ask Braden Swenson, hey, who's next up? And he could have picked anyone. They just said, who's next up? You heard the audio a little bit ago. And he said Gabriel Relaford. Could have said anyone. Could have said you, could have said me. And, well, he couldn't have said us. I really do like Gabriel going into next season. I really do think he's going to get it done. Okay. Now, that is it for me. Don't forget, tomorrow night, live stream after LSU versus Alabama. It's going to be a late night, but that's okay because we got to be there for Flauge and the team. Okay. Pretty excited. Alabama, they're good this year. And then, of course, you have Ole Miss coming up this weekend. So, here's the thing, and I do think this is important. I think this stretch for LSU could get a little testy here, all right? But that's the good thing about beating Kentucky, okay, is that the pressure to go 2-0 on this little stretch here goes way down. Right, you already got the first round bye in the SEC tournament, which I think is good, okay, which is actually the double bye. But in this final stretch, if you drop one of these two games, it's really not that big a deal. It's really not. So I like where LSU stands. I think the Kentucky game gives us a little bit of wiggle room in these final two games because we, once again, got the double bye locked in. I hate this travel, though. So you have, you know, 10 p.m. in the game, get everyone on the plane. And then, of course, when LSU women's basketball goes anywhere, they're the Beatles. So they like to sign every autograph, take every photo, which is great. I think you should. So you have to think about this logistically. It's a little bit different when LSU leaves a game because everybody wants to take a photo with Flage. Perfect sense. But, you know, the team gets back, probably going to bed at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and then you got to turn around and play a Sunday afternoon game. And I dislike that because obviously it's a quick turnaround, but I do think it's good practice because, like I've said in the past, it's a Friday-Sunday turnaround for the Final Four. So if you do get to the Final Four, this does get you in that mode where even though it's Thursday-Sunday instead of Friday-Sunday, you know, it does get you ready for a turnaround where you're playing a night game and then an earlier game in the next 72 hours. And then obviously in the Final Four, it's going to be in the next 48. In the SEC tournament, though, obviously you're playing a game every day if, of course, you keep winning. So should be an interesting final portion of the season for LSU. So there you go. Talk to you tomorrow. Once again, big thanks to our friends at Zion Imaging, the XYANImaging.com 360 spin booth experience. Carter the Power Brian. Don't forget Jamar Chase jersey giveaway at the end of March. We're giving out a Jamar Chase jersey. All you got to do is be a part of the PHL Patreon. That's it. And it's Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight. We are doing, steaks tonight. Let's go.